Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Pivot Technology Solutions second quarter results conference call. At this time, all lines are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. And if at any time during this call you require immediate assistance, please press star zero for the operator. Also note that this call is being recorded on Friday, August 14th, 2020. Your hosts today are Kevin Schenck, President and Chief Executive Officer, and David Taze, Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin, I am required to provide the following statement respecting forward-looking information which is made on behalf of Pivot and all its representatives on this call. All statements made on this call will contain forward-looking information. Actual results could differ materially from a conclusion, forecast, or projection in forward-looking information. Certain material factors and assumptions were applied in drawing a conclusion or making a forecast or projection as reflected in the forward-looking information. Additional information about the material factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from the conclusion, forecast, or projection in the forward-looking information and material factors or assumptions that were applied in drawing a conclusion or making a forecast or projection as reflected in the forward-looking information are contained in Pivot's filings with Canadian provincial securities regulators. During today's call, all figures are in Canadian dollars unless otherwise stated. And with that, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Kevin Schenck, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for taking time to participate on today's call. I'll begin with some high-level comments, and then Dave will provide a detailed financial update, and I will conclude with some thoughts about our strategies and outlook. The second quarter of 2020 was highlighted by economic uncertainty as the world adapted to the challenges presented by COVID-19. Pivot entered this environment from a position of strength, with an efficient cost structure, a strengthened balance sheet, and a focus on growing our service revenues higher and our product in driving higher product solutions, higher margin product solutions. During the second quarter, we continued to execute our strategy. We are pleased that our results demonstrated the expected benefits from our transformation plan that we started in 2018. Pivot Provided Services continued on its growth path and grew 12.1% in the second quarter compared to the year prior, and it also increased sequentially. These results would have been even better were it not for COVID-19, as we had several projects delayed, and we were unable to access customers' locations to do the work. Gross profit margin increased to 15.1% from 13.1%, and our SG&A decreased by 9.3% compared to last year. The improved efficiency of our business and growth in Pivot Provided Services enabled us to generate $7.4 million of EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, in the second quarter. Revenue declined compared to last year's Q2. Q2 of 2019 was the strongest quarter for the company in fiscal 2019. The revenue decline was due to three factors. Revenue from majors declined approximately $71 million. In addition, the prior year included a non-recurring project from a non-major customer of over $41 million. And specifically due to COVID-19 issues, we had over $30 million of revenue where we had received the orders, received the purchase orders and backlog that should have shipped and been recognized in Q2, moved to Q3 or later as a result of customer delays, our product shipment delays, due to supply chain issues from our manufacturing partners, again, as a direct result of COVID-19. We continue to focus on building on our core products and services portfolio while enhancing our services and solutions capabilities from the edge to the cloud. Intel continues to be a key partner of our overall edge strategy to drive the sale, deployment, and management of edge solutions. During the quarter, we were chosen as Intel's 2020 National Go-to-Market Partner of the Year for our work with them on our Intel Smart Edge solution. This award validates our expertise in delivering transformative services that are moving us closer to our goal of becoming a leader in edge services in North America. Interest in edge technology appears to be growing and accelerating as customers plan to operate in the new norm. As a whole, in addition to the edge, we continue to see robust opportunities in our portfolio, and in the terms of customer wins, new customer wins, we have won several managed service engagements in Canada, which have helped increase our recurring revenues for managed services by over 20% compared to last year. In addition, we've closed opportunities in our state and local education business in the U.S. where schools are accelerating their remote learning capabilities as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Our funnel for Pivot-provided services continues to grow, and while the timing of some of these projects is somewhat uncertain in today's environment, the developments are very positive. By executing our strategy, we have improved the efficiency of the business, lowered our adjusted debt levels, and the trending results are a testament of the hard work of our team. During the quarter, we utilized our normal course issuer bid to repurchase approximately 497,000 shares and paid $1.5 million in dividends. The company is constantly reviewing its allocation of capital and are closely monitoring our priorities. Adjusted debt was $74.3 million on June 30th of 2020. This was an increase of $1.4 million since December 31st, 2019. This increase was solely due to currency fluctuations. Excluding the effects of foreign exchange, adjusted debt decreased by $1.8 million. Our adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA increased marginally from 2.05 in December 2019 to 2.4 at June 30, 2020. Again, excluding the unfavorable foreign exchange effect, adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA was 2.32 at June 30th. Net interest coverage was essentially unchanged at 4.42 times at June 30th, 2020, from 4.45 times at December 31st, 2019. We have integrated the wholly owned U.S. Pivot businesses to be more effective and efficient in executing our business plans, and we remain committed to drive our solutions wider and deeper into our installed accounts, especially our non-major clients. The strategy continues to focus on building on our core products business while enhancing our portfolio of offerings with additional solutions and services capabilities. We will continue to invest in areas of our business where we see opportunity for growth, such as professional services, managed services, software-defined technologies, edge solutions, and cloud services. I'll now turn the call over to Dave for a financial update. Dave?
Thanks, Kevin. Good morning, everyone. As we announced last quarter, prior to January 1st, 2020, the company reported its results in U.S. dollars. Effective January 1st, 2020, the board elected to change the company's presentation currency from U.S. dollars to Canadian dollars. The change in presentation currency is to improve investors' ability to compare the company's financial results with other Canadian publicly traded companies. The consolidated financial results for all periods presented in the interim condensed financial statements are in Canadian dollars, which is consistent with our Q1 filings. Second quarter results continue to show the progress we've been making with the commercial transformation. In 2020, we combined certain U.S. wholly owned subsidiaries and related business units through a merger and have standardized the systems and tools across the entire business. And this has allowed us to start centralizing several functional areas which are starting to generate cost savings while improving controls and creating efficiencies. Second quarter 2020 revenue was $332.1 million, a 27.8% decrease from the comparative period. And as Kevin mentioned, this was driven by three major factors: the decline in revenue from major customers, a non-recurring project in the prior year, and delays in projects and shipments due to impacts of COVID-19. While product sales and third-party services declined, we did see a solid improvement in Pivot-provided services, which reported revenue of $30 million for Q2 of 2020, up by $3.2 million, or 12.1%, as compared to Q2 of last year, and up sequentially by $1.2 million from Q1 of this year. The increase in Pivot-provided services is due to expanding managed services with new customers in Canada, combined with certain projects requiring professional services and workforce services in the U.S. We're very pleased with the continued growth in Pivot-provided services given the current environment, as we had several projects get deferred due to the pandemic, so our growth would have been even more impressive without these delays. Gross profit of $50.2 million for Q2 of 2020 decreased by $9.9 million or 16.5% as compared to the same period in the prior year. The decrease in gross profit is mainly driven by the decline in sales. Partially offsetting the impact of decreased sales, however, the gross profit margin improved significantly and was 15.1% in Q2 2020 as compared to 13.1% in Q2 of 2019. The company continued to experience a favorable shift in customer mix, generating a higher proportion of revenue from non-major customers in Q2 2020, which usually have a higher gross margin. In addition, the growth in Pivot Provider Services revenue, which also have higher gross profit margins than product sales, combined with continued cost management, also helped improve the gross profit margin in Q2 of 2020. While we continue to look for opportunities to grow our share with major customers, we're planning the business assuming continued reduced volumes in this area, and our strategy is not dependent on our major customers. The company continues to focus on increasing Pivot Provider Services revenue. SG&A of $42.8 million for Q2 of 2020 decreased by $4.4 million, or 9.3%, as compared to the same period in the prior year, and decreased by $3.9 million from the first quarter. There are a number of factors that impacted SG&A, including lower commissions and variable compensation associated with the lower gross profit and adjusted EBITDA, reduced OPEX associated with SmartEdge, which we sold last year, decreased costs associated with travel and marketing spend as a result of COVID-19, and cost reduction efforts, which offset some of the investments we've been making in growth areas of the business, as well as bad debt expenses. Adjusted EBITDA was $7.4 million in the second quarter, compared to $12.9 million in Q2 2019, and up 37% sequentially from the $5.4 million of Q1 of this year. Finance expense of $1.5 million for Q2 2020 decreased by $0.5 million, or 25.8%, for the quarter as compared to the same period in the last year. The decrease for the quarter was primarily due to lower effective rates of interest. Other expenses were $1.7 million for Q2 2020 as compared to $1.1 million for Q2 2019. The largest component of other expenses relates to fluctuations in foreign exchange between the Canadian and U.S. dollar. We had $500,000 of restructuring costs in the quarter, which is down significantly from Q1 of this year. Net loss attributable to shareholders was $0.5 million. Overall, second quarter diluted earnings per share was a loss of 1 cent per share in Q2 2020 compared to income of 5 cents last year. On a year-to-date basis, earnings per share is 1 cent in 2020 compared to a loss of 7 cents in 2019. In our Q2 filings, we've separated depreciation and amortization so that investors can better understand the impact of amortization on our earnings. Our net loss in Q2 includes $2.8 million of amortization, which is a non-cash expense associated with the intangibles from prior acquisitions. Adding back amortization to the net loss of 1 cent per share would result in earnings being around 5 cents per share. Moving on to cash flow for the second quarter, cash provided by operating activities was $35.2 million, as compared to $53.2 million in Q2 of 2019. The change in net cash from operating activities fluctuates depending on the timing of non-cash working capital items, specifically accounts receivable, inventory, and payables. The company finances its working capital through its revolving credit line, therefore fluctuations in cash from operations are normal and are generally offset by changes in the credit facility, which are captured in financing activities. Cash used in financing activities was $34 million in Q2 of 2020 compared to $37.8 million in Q2 2019. The change in cash from financing activities was primarily driven by movements in the net borrowing associated with the company's credit facility. As I noted, the credit facility tends to fluctuate inversely with changes in working capital and cash from operations. Also used in financing activities, we spent $1.5 million on the company's dividend in Q2, as well as approximately $700,000 on buying back shares through our NCIB. Cash used in investing activities was $3.8 million in Q2 of 2020, compared to $1.6 million in 2019. Cash used in investing activities mainly relates to capital expenditures, driven primarily by facility lease renewals and contingent consideration payments as we made our final payments for the Terramac and Cloudscapes acquisitions. The company expects that cash and cash equivalents, cash flow from operations, and amounts available to be drawn against the credit facility will provide sufficient liquidity for its operations and organic growth. The company's expectation is based in part on the assumption that the COVID-19 pandemic will not materially impact the company's cash flow, which is our assumption. Adjusted debt is a metric that we introduced last year. It normalizes the impact of changes in working capital, and we believe this is a more relevant indicator of our debt position and is a more comparable metric with industry peers. Adjusted debt stood at $74.3 million at the end of Q2 2020, compared to $72.9 million at December 31, 2019. The increase of adjusted debt in 2020 was due entirely to foreign exchange. Excluding the foreign exchange effect, adjusted debt actually improved by $1.8 million since year-end. Adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA was 2.4 times at the end of the second quarter, compared to 2.1 times at the end of 2019. The change in adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA at June 30, 2020 was due to the decline in adjusted EBITDA in Q2 of 2020 compared to the prior year, and also due to foreign exchange. Excluding foreign exchange effect, adjusted debt to adjusted EBITDA was 2.3 times at June 30, 2020, and this continues to be a very strong ratio for us. Our net interest coverage ratio was relatively unchanged at 4.42 times at the end of Q2 2020 compared to 4.45 times at the end of 2019. The decline in net interest coverage reflects the lower adjusted EBITDA, mostly offset by lower net finance expenses on a trailing 12-month basis. Pivot continues to have significant liquidity available. The company had availability to borrow under its revolving credit facility of $94.7 million at June 30, 2020. Amounts borrowed under the credit facility were $140.8 million at June 30th, compared to $138.7 million at December 31st, 2019. Subsequent to June 30th, the board declared a quarterly dividend of 4 cents per common share, payable on September 15th, 2020, to shareholders of record on August 31st, 2020. The company continues to believe that the dividend is a key part of creating shareholder value and will continue to review payment of the dividend on a quarterly basis. I will now turn it back to Kevin for his closing comments.
Thanks, Dave. Our financial results are showing the benefits of the plan we initiated in 2018. We remain committed to our strategy and believe Pivot's opportunities to create shareholder value through its products, solutions, and services strategy are robust. Management continues to monitor the COVID-19 pandemic, and we are managing through the opportunities and challenges in the environment as the situation evolves. We look forward to providing you with updates on our progress throughout 2020. This concludes our prepared remarks. Operator, please open the line for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Shank. Ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star followed by one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a three-tone prompt acknowledging your request. And should you decide that you would like to withdraw your question, simply press star followed by two. And if you're using a speakerphone, we ask that you please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Please go ahead and press star one now if you have a question. And your first question will be from Rob Goff at Echelon. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Given the challenges in the quarter and the macro environment, would it be possible to give us a bit of a perspective on the traction that you were seeing in Q3 with respect to each of your lines of businesses in terms of the pivot provided, the third-party services, and also on the product side?
Yeah, obviously we don't give forward guidance, Rob. But I don't mind talking about the economy and the general business environment. You know, I spend a lot of time on market intelligence, and you know, I think the theme continues where we have a good mix of customers. There's a study by Bain out that would be a good one for you. I'll reference you to a study Bain did, and it talks about, you know, companies that are faring well in this environment and companies that are going to struggle. And it really comes down to your client base. And, you know, if you have a lot of government business, large telecommunications customers, parts of healthcare, parts of state local education business, you're in large kind of well tenured companies. You're managing through this environment fairly well, like we are. If your client base is hotel chains and cruise lines and the travel industry, it's a real struggle for you. And you know, we have a few of those clients, and we're trying to help them all we can. But for the most part, our customer base is large corporate enterprise entities and state and other forms of government. And, they're performing fairly well through the environment. So, because of our mix of customer base relative to who's being impacted the most, we've seen a good volume of orders. There are supply chain issues. I think that's pretty well publicized in the industry. That are affecting everyone, and it definitely impacted us in the second quarter as we had a lot of orders that couldn't ship due to supply constraints, as technologies being assembled and products are coming in from other locations throughout the world in Mexico and China and other parts of the world. Definitely, supply chain has been impacted, and it impacted us in the second quarter. We put a note in around, just the latitude of that. So from my perspective, our customer mix is relatively positive in light of who's challenged and who's doing well in this environment, and we feel very blessed for that reason. And we continue to see, business volume from those type of customers, and we continue to see a lot of, as we mentioned, a lot of opportunity. And we're closing our fair share of business. I personally believe that as the political environment in the U.S. Straightens out here in 84 days or 82 days now, that I think you'll see the economy in the U.S. even become more aligned and make greater strides towards the right direction. And that's independent of who wins. I think that will help also outside of COVID and outside of the current business environment. I think the political environment settling down will also help a lot of different industries in the U.S. and probably globally. So I don't know if that's enough color, but that's what I see.
That helps. And could you talk to the supply chain issues? Are they behind you, or are they partially behind you, or what's your view there?
I would say partially behind us. I'll talk about these are well documented. I cannot call out specific manufacturers, and I don't want to do that.
But I would
lead you to a couple different incidents. So obviously the pandemic is growing in Central America and South America, and that's impacted at least a couple of our manufacturers and one of our biggest partners. And so they moved production to other parts of the world, including Europe. And so I think, that will catch up here in the second half of the year. The most recent one actually is not COVID-related. It was related to, some of the larger orders we're doing for, our education business. We're impacted because of some product coming in, had some unfair labor issues tied to it, and they had to be sent back to the origin of the country of origin, and then will get reshipped to us. So we think that's one that will get caught up here in the second half of the year. So we're optimistic that things in the supply chain get cleared up in the second half of the year. I don't know if I'm comfortable saying that it all happens in Q3, but I think by the end of the year they'll get caught up.
Thank you. And if I may, first, congratulations with respect to Intel. Could you then talk to how things are pacing there towards potential deployments with the mesh?
I would like to see it proceed faster. The number of opportunities are growing. Where we're seeing the edge really become a factor is around contactless payment, contactless systems, thermal imagery, and temperature monitoring of humans. Those areas we're seeing a lot of activity. And I think how people pay for goods and services in the future will change. And it takes a lot of technology to support those types of applications and that extra bandwidth and that security that's required to operate these kinds of capabilities at the edge requires new technology, and that's where Intel and Intel's approach really plays well. And we're tied very closely to them, and you know, in our jointly pursuing business together, along with a couple other key manufacturers that I won't name, but world leaders in parts of that edge technology. I'll see if I can get permission to use their name in the future, but other partners that are well branded, you would recognize their brand that are also part of these solutions, and you know, we see that pipeline growing.
Okay. Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing those names.
Yep. Thank you.
Cheers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, if you do have any questions at this time, please press star followed by one on your touchtone phone. And your next question will be from Gianluca Tucci at Torrent Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, you can.
Hey, guys. Morning. So good quarter, right, notwithstanding COVID. Can you talk a bit about the customer volumes that you're seeing to date and how they're trending in Q3 compared to Q2? And I have a follow-up question to that as well.
I would say, you know, obviously we don't give forward-looking information. But, you know, kind of along the lines of how I discussed Rob's question, you know, we see, see robust opportunities, continued robust opportunities for our full portfolio of products, services, and solutions. And obviously, we're closing our fair share of that business. So, you know, we can't quantify anything, but you see our managed service business is growing, and I think that's a function of operating in the new norm, and obviously something that we value very much as it's reoccurring revenue. It is a small denominator to start, but it does grow and it snowballs, as you continue to grow it. So we're very excited about, you know, the opportunities we see in that space, as well as the service business in general. But, you know, product business, we see very good opportunities there as well. I mentioned that, you know, there are some other factors out there that do impact product business from time to time, including, you know, supply side issues, and we're managing through those. We're working very closely with the manufacturers. And by no means am I casting any shade on the manufacturers. I believe they've done a fabulous job of adjusting to the many issues the pandemic has brought to their business. So what they've been able to do is really awesome in light of the challenges that were before them.
Okay, great. Thanks, Kevin. And then as a follow-up to that, I think it was in the last quarter that you put out a press release that you're partnering with, I forget the name of the company, for an intelligent thermal scanning. Can you give us an update on that? That seems like it's pretty topical for today's environment and how that partnership is progressing.
Yeah, it's Aura. It's how you pronounce it. And, you know, they've got I would call them on the higher end of capability with their thermal imaging. They've combined some technology with the thermal, so there's a lot of different thermal scanning technologies out there. But they've taken it to the next level in terms of their security and how they manage the information they're gathering. And it is, in my opinion, very unique, and it's very high-end in terms of the capabilities of that thermal scanning and managing that human population. So they've won some significant business, I think, in airports, where you're going to see a high volume of people, where you have a need for a very advanced capability in thermal imaging and thermal scanning and the management of human traffic moving through facilities. And so we've partnered with them. We see them as a leader in the space, and we're working with them and trying to bring them into our customers that would require an advanced level capability. And I'll give you, examples of that would be certain governmental institutions. It would be companies that, require tight security, like power generation facilities and other businesses or office spaces. I'm trying not to give away competitive information here.
Right.
But other industries that require an advanced level of security and management of human flow, they're perfect for that scenario. And that's where we see them fitting. And I know they also pursue their own deals, and they've closed some business that I've seen, which is very impressive.
Okay, great. And just one last one from here. In terms of the path forward, do you see acquisitions as part of the plan? And if so, how targeted are you going? Like, is it by end market? Is it by, like, service capability? Just some color on that. And thanks, guys.
I see M&A as a possibility. We've worked really hard to get our balance sheet in the position that it's in. And as Dave alluded, we have quite a bit of dry powder on our line. It's very possible. In the light of just in the last 90 days, the entire world economy has been through a real gut check in terms of what's critical to you. And our immediate response was taking great care of our customers, continuing to operate a very strong company in this environment, and really making sure that we're aligned well to where the industry goes. And I think we've done those three things successfully. Now when you look at what opportunities exist because of this environment, then you'd have to look at additional managed service capabilities, potentially some cloud service capabilities, and advancing your business through M&A in those areas. But I think the strategy that we've deployed around really leveraging our strengths and focusing on our inorganic services growth and keeping the business strong financially, not taking on debt but actually reducing debt in this environment, I think is pretty positive relative to a lot of companies and a lot of industries. So.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Thank you. And at this time, Mr. Shank, we have no other questions. Please proceed.
Okay. Well, thank you, operator. We look forward to providing further updates as we report our Q3 later in the year. We appreciate the questions. We appreciate your attention and your attendance today. Thanks and have a great day. Bye-bye now.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this does indeed conclude your conference call for today. Once again, thank you for attending. And at this time, we do ask that you please disconnect your lines. Have a good weekend.